Wouldn't mind talking about the ruck. I've just come out of a 3-hour or 2-hour chat about the state of footy right now and an argument about ruckman and what you, well, who is the number one ruckman in the AFL right now and what do you expect from your ruckman? I happen to be lucky enough to go to Ballarat and see Tim English play on the weekend, kick 3 goals as a ruckman. Now, he's essentially the second ruck for the Western Bulldogs this year, and yet he could actually end up changing the way that we look at rucks. If he can continue to kick at least a goal a game, 2 goals a game, and keep taking contested marks like he's been taking this season, then it's going to change, I think, the way we look at rucks. Because when you work out what we once upon a time thought was the main parameter for a ruckman to be a high-quality ruckman, now, I don't like reverting back to Simon Madden all the time, but he's, in most people's minds, the greatest of the relatively near era. 378 games he played Simon Madden. He kicked 575 goals. So, yeah, he did push forward and was a forward quite a bit of the time as a ruckman, but he kicked a goal and a half a game, and he took 5.5 marks a game. So a goal and a half a game and 5.5 marks a game, and a lot of those contested marks. I think the contested mark, I think, is all of a sudden coming back into vogue as something that we want from our ruckman. And there's a lot of guys who are quality ruckmen who don't take a lot of contested marks and don't kick a lot of goals. When you look at the main guys on the list, you know, compare Simon Madden, 5.5 marks a game, 1.5 goals a game. Max Gawn, see, marks per game and goals per game is going backwards. It's going backwards at a massive rate. Todd Goldstein, 3 marks a game compared to Simon Madden's 5.5 marks a game and half a goal a game. Nick Natanui, 1.7 marks per game and 0.6 goals per game. Some of the other main ruckmen in the competition, Scott Lysette, 3 marks a game and 0.5 goals a game. Riley O'Brien, 3.5 marks a game and 0.01 goals per game. So Riley O'Brien very rarely, you know, kicks a goal a year in essence. Brody Grundy, 3.5 marks per game, 0.3 goals per game. Been a few people calling for Brody Grundy to push forward more, but I had a few texts yesterday saying he can't take contested marks in the forward 50. It's not his go. So maybe given that stat, 3.5 marks per game and 0.3 goals per game, it's not going to work. Max Gawn's able to take contested marks. He's up there above the rest of them in terms of marks per game, 4.2 marks per game his career. But he doesn't kick straight enough, and he's only running at 0.4 goals per game. So what do you measure for your ruckman to actually come away from it saying, yeah, he's going to be probably the best ruckman this year, and he's going to put us in the firing line? Hitouts are a waste of time taking that stat anymore. We know that, and we've been talking about it for a while. But if hitouts are a waste of time, what stat should we rely on? And can Tim English change the way we look at a ruck this year by pushing forward and kicking goals and taking contested marks for a change? Your thoughts on that, if you've got a thought, 1-300-736-736. Leon in Caulfield, we're coming to you. Michael in Williamstown, let's get it going. Midday Madness, you call, you get on. We'll start with you, Leon in Caulfield. Welcome, Leon.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Firstly, I remember Simon Madden playing very well. He was a great ruckman and always dangerous up forward. And one year, Sheedy, I think it was 91 or 92, Sheedy played him at centre-half forward all year. He was very versatile. I wanted to talk to you today in the context of you being an AFL commentator on television. Yep. One of the things that does bother me is the lack of informing us who is playing on whom. Now, I realise that people rotate off other people, but there a good deal of the play, particularly in this era of footy, you know, guys are on other guys for the entire game. And yet we, as consumers of the game, we're not told that information. Yep. in a manner which I think really, you know, we hear lots of things about players' girlfriends and about babies and other stuff. But really, what we want to know at the time is, you know, is Ridley playing on Buddy or is it Francis? You know, tell us, you know. And there is a number of positions like that where I think it's unclear as a spectator on television who is playing on whom. And surely, and I don't believe that the commentators take that into account. Now, there seems to be no mechanism to tell us that.
I love your call, Leon. It's something that I know the Fox Footy special comments guys work hard on, and they do try and bring it to you. And, you know, we are very cautious at Fox without, you know, talking too much out of school about talking about in stuff and, you know, about babies and whose girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. We're very cautious about it. If that gets mentioned, it's pretty much a point, and not all three commentators go over it and talk about it for the rest of the game. It's a statement made. It's all fine. And then we move on back to the play pretty much. I mean, that's a pretty important parameter for us. Back to the play. It's good to have light and shade. It's good to have a few of those stories, I think. And people enjoy a bit of the personality stuff. But, yeah, back to the play is pretty important as well. And the matchups could be a ticker. If we had actual matchups like we once upon a time had, it would be nice to put a graphic up or a ticker saying who's on who. Or the guys could keep going over it. But unfortunately, as you say, Leon, it changes so often. But the main ones, I'll have a chat to them and see if they'll do it a little bit more, just repeat it. One of the other funny things about repeating stuff, though, is if you say something in the second quarter that you already said in the first quarter, such and such, it's like, you told us that, you nutter. We do try and keep refreshing, thinking that the audience changes every quarter as well, just in case no one heard that such and such is on Buddy Franklin. Love your call, Leon, and we're going to send you up to Club Mandalay on us, a must play course in Melbourne's north for a round of golf midweek with the Carts. Des in Cranbourne, you there, Des?
Yeah, g'day, Pipe. How you going, mate?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I think the ruck, I think it's really important, mate. You got to think about it. They're the first blokes to get their hand on it. So if you can start, I think the art of ruck work's gone. And Nick Natanui, he just proves that if you've got some chemistry going with your midfielders, you can get them going.
Yeah, I agree with you on Nick Natanui. I mean, his palm value and the clearance to score is the important part that we can actually, you know, analyse Nick Natanui's game on. So you're right. It's a bit of a different ruck combination that he's got going with his midfielders that make it the point that he can be an All-Australian ruckman, even though he's only taking 1.7 marks a game and kicking 0.6 goals per game. Appreciate your call, Des. Philip in Mount Waverley, your thoughts?
Yes, Dwayne. I don't know whether this is the entire answer, but you're forgetting that Simon Madden used to rest in the forward pocket.
Yep.
The ruckmen today go off the ground and rest on the bench.
Well, the reason you're 100% right, Philip. The reason that it was a discussion this morning is because I think ruckmen are pushing forward more, because if interchange comes down and ruckmen don't get as much of a rest, and we had Tim English on this program last week, and there's a text here, Rowan Marshall's been doing it for a couple of years now. If we all of a sudden get a ruckman that becomes like Simon Madden, so they push forward and rest in the forward pocket. I'm not going to bring Paul Salmon into the equation, but if all of a sudden you get a ruckman that is resting, Philip, then we might get more of these contested marks inside attacking 50 and more goals kicked, because that's what the old ruckman did.
Indeed, I agree with that. But Simon was just an outstanding footballer, though, wasn't he?
That's true. So was Paul Salmon, by the way, his numbers, Paul Salmon, 4.5 marks a game and 1.7 goals per game, but the big fish played at full forward quite a lot, as a full forward or as a forward in general. Alex in Perth, welcome to you, Alex.
G'day, Dwayne. Your statistics in terms of Simon Madden's marks around the ground are a bit inflated because of when he played, the way the game was played was that the ball was kicked long to the packs,
yep.
Whereas these days the ball position is held and it's kept away from the ruckman generally.
Yeah, although that's another, and I'll let you go here to have you say, Alex, but there was a discussion this morning as to how many actual kicks do ruckmen get, those short kicks backwards. So a few of the modern ruck mark numbers might actually be padded up with a couple of uncontested marks that are easy ones that are kicked backwards, and then he gives a little handball back to the guy.
But ruck work has evolved. Back in 75, Graham Campbell, who coached West Perth, the trend that in that stage was that each team would play four ruckmen, but Campbell introduced the ruck rover, or the on-baller, and that had a dramatic effect on the game. West Perth won a premiership, and I think that then sort of flowed on to all the other clubs.
Yep.
And
no,
go
on, because it has been different in different states as well, in the way that rucks have been used in the Waffle and the Sandful, different to the VFL, which was played on a lot of muddy grounds and slower grounds, whereas the Waffle and the Sandful, and that's why Polly changed the game when he came to Melbourne in a way, because he'd been playing in finer conditions in WA and his ball handling was brilliant.
Yeah, he was an outstanding ruckman. But the skill that sort of Farmer had and Nat Nui has got is generally negated by the fact that the other ruckman, in contrary to the rules, immediately grapple and hold or block those particular ruckmen, so they can't exhibit the skills that a ruckman should have.
Yeah.
Address the rules and enforce the rules, you know. This business of grappling that occurs just about at every ruck knock is just not on.
Yeah, and that's why they changed the ruck rule to allow the ruckman to take it out of the ruck again, because the ruckman, I think the ruck committee got together and said, hang on, you're stopping us from being able to produce one of our weapons as a craftsman to be able to take the ball out of the ruck and handball or give it or kick it by not giving us prior opportunity from taking it out of the ruck. So that's why they changed it back to allowing a ruckman to do that. Appreciate your call, Alex, and it is hard to equate eras, but at the same time, it's great to see, I think, these guys that with less interchange are going to spend more time forward kicking goals. Tom Hickey pushing forward kicking goals. He's become a lot of people's version of the recruit of the year this year, and it's a ruckman that's all of a sudden pushing forward and kicking goals and taking some contested marks, and Tim English as well, and hopefully Rowan Marshall will play a lot of footy this year and do the same. Jez and Karam Downs, you there, Jez?
Hey, Dwayne, how you going?
Good, thanks.
I'd like, as a Pies fan, I really wouldn't mind seeing Bucks roll the dice and just put Grundy forward, just keep him starting at full forward. Just give him a crack. We can play the three big talls, Darcy Cameron, Cox, and Grundy. I think that combination can work. What do you reckon?
I'm not sure all three. I'm just a little bit worried about all three being up there with Mason Cox up there. It was interesting to hear what Gary Hocking said yesterday about Jordan Dugowie, how he thinks Jordan Dugowie is going to evolve into just about a permanent midfielder. So you take him out of the equation. You don't have Stevenson forward this year as another option of kicking goals. And your delivery inside 50 or your delivery to your forwards isn't as good because you haven't got Treloar. So, in essence, Jez, something needs to change, and it might be exactly what you're saying. That could change things.
Because I think it worked for us in that final against the Eagles over there. It worked having all three big talls playing, even though Grundy only played 60% in the ruck. I reckon it can work because, I mean, Stevenson had no impact on that game whatsoever. And I just think that if we get our structures right, I reckon we can get the three bigs working because it works for the Eagles. I mean, why can't it work for us? But Darcy Cameron's coming into some good form in the VFL, and I think it's time for him to actually just get the call up and have a crack. We've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, look, fair call, Jess. You're right. You've got nothing to lose. You have to do something different, and this is the week to do it because you've got that parameter. No one really expects Collingwood to win this week, so it's the right week to try something different, I think, like they did in the finals last year, and it worked. Shane on the road, you there, Shane?
Hey, Dwayne, how you going, mate?
Good.
I'm a Swanee supporter, and it's going to be one-eyed here, but I think Tom Hickey is exactly what you're talking about. I mean, he's taking, you know, over 3 marks a match. He's scoring 1.3 goals, 15 disposals, hit-outs to advantage. Yeah, he has to be the close to the recruit of the year, and exactly what you're talking about. You know, like, you've got Nat Nui, who is probably the best ruckman in the league for taps and the way he goes about it, but Hickey this year has been absolutely outstanding, and he's probably the greatest reason why the Swans are playing the way they are.
I really appreciate your call, Shane. I think you're spot on. Hold the line, we'll get you a pair of Athleticans on us, Australia's Hype sneaker label, worn by all of those from the street to the gym, to the value of $129. The pair coming your way, exclusively available online at athletican.com, athletikan.com. Got a few of those to give away today. Thanks for your call, Shane. Roger in Hawthorne, you there, Roger?
Yes, sir. Look, the ruck technique of tapping the ball down to a rover and going forward, you've got to watch Black and White with Polly Farmer and Billy Goggin. Today, if the ruckman can get his hands on the ball, a la Grundy, punch it forward. Momentum of your team moving the ball forward is far greater than someone grabbing it to turn it back. Unfortunately, they're not playing to the strength of percentages.
Roger, it's an interesting call because you're going way back. I mean, to go back to Polly Farmer, he averaged 6 marks a game and half a goal a game. So, you know, with the modern ruckman averages about 3 marks a game. Lysette O'Brien, Grundy, Max Gorn averages 4. But, you know, Polly was right up there back in his day, 6 marks a game. And you're right, the knock forward, the keep it going forward, it seems as if the handball backwards has come into vogue. Now, it's hard to draw a line through the eras, and we shouldn't probably go back to maybe to Polly Farmer's day for the analogy sake, but I do believe that what you're saying in essence, the knock it forward, keep it forward, push it forward game style is something that Richmond's brought back to the game, Roger, and the ruck style probably of knocking it forward, pushing it forward, scrambling it forward is something that would work for Richmond and other teams if they all of a sudden had that surge forward mentality. I appreciate your call.